Coach, let's start right away with that game against Gloucester. Both you and Coach Geary predicted it was going to be a tremendous high school game, and it looks like it was.
Yeah, it still was. It was very hard fought. We knew what we were getting. We were able to get a couple of more than they did, but it was overall a great game. I don't think anybody walked away from that game, aside from the score, saying it wasn't a great hockey game between two very good hockey teams.
I love it when you simplify so much the perspective of the game and bring it down to what it's all about. I read in the paper that Coach Geary was saying what they didn't want was for you guys to get off to a fast start in the first period, and apparently you did.
Yeah, we were fortunate. We predicated a game on hopefully starting the game on time, establishing, zone time, getting pucks to the net. And we were able to do that. And like last time, we got a 2-0 lead, and then they started to come back. And, it's a very good hockey team. You cannot have any lapses because they'll take advantage of it. And, it was a very good hockey game, and special teams, played a part. But overall, it was a hard-fought game, physical game, and it went right down to the end.
Tim?
Rick? Coach, as you look at Gloucester, because, Rick and I were both spent so much time there, what did you see as the strength of Gloucester's team?
Derek's, he keeps them. That's a very well coached hockey team. There's not many holes. I think that stuck with me the last time I talked with Ricky said how they seem to have found their identity and losing, a couple of really good kids off last year's roster. It's a chance for others to grow. And we sort of had the same thing. We were talking about it early in the year, creating our identity. So I think you saw two very good hockey teams, getting hot at the end of the year. And let's face it, with only a point separating us going into that game, everybody had to play. Everybody had to come to play. And I think our top-end guys on both sides really, really played well. I like Cunningham. I like, Jewel and a couple of those kids really, and I pulled them aside after and said, you guys played great. And, again, it's a bounce here, a bounce there, a penalty or an opportunity here and there. That's what it comes down to. And that's what I'm sure they practice that. We practice game situations every day. And, at the end when we went to our box plus one, when they pulled the goalie, I said, guys, I don't even have to draw this up. This is what we do every single day. We practice these situations. Now we have to execute it when it comes time. So just take a deep breath, go out there and do what you were drilled to do. Do what you were taught. And, but don't tense up. Just play our game. And that was, I think, our message. And it's been all years. Just play our game. So we did, and we were fortunate.
Coach, you mentioned, talking to a couple of the other kids. And I know that Paul Ingram used to do that when he coached Gloucester High School football. That means a lot to not only the kid on the opposition, but your players see how much you understand what the other guys are doing as well. And that's sort of a, I don't know how to even describe it, but it's a trickle-down effect on respecting efforts by people and giving people credit for being who they are and how hard they try.
Oh, there's no question. You're going to get some great individual efforts, and they had definitely had some in both games. And you know what? I respect that. It sticks out to me when I see, our kids or our opponent do some little things, but some very cerebral things that lead to, either lead to a great play defensively or lead to some really good plays offensively. I see that they understand the game, and that was evident in both games, but especially this game. I think I had a little bit more of a perspective on what we were doing in our building with the magnitude of what was on the line. So I sort of dissected almost every shift. But those kids along with our high-end kids, made some really, really nice plays on both sides of the puck. And, you know, we didn't expect anything more than a one-goal hockey game. And, you know, we were fortunate when they cut it to one, we were able to get one right back almost. And that, again, that shows some maturity. You know, you get scored on, you got to get right back at it. Don't feel bad. And again, these situations are going to present themselves, and we try to practice them every day so we're not overwhelmed in a game situation.
Coach, I was just looking at your roster, and I take it that Silverman and Hayes are on the first line?
Yes, they are.
Okay, who's the center for them?
A senior, Colin Banfield. We've had some adjustments there all year because I didn't want to load up one line. I needed to spread to two lines. So, you know, you have your high-octane line that's just going to go and have their foot on the gas. But Colin really stabilizes that line. He stays back. He keeps the play in front of him. He's seldom caught on the wrong side of the puck. He's had he's emerged as a really good face-off man. He's been great in the dots and penalty killing. So now, you know, we've been juggling some players back and forth depending on the situation of the game, coming back after a penalty or a power play. But, you know, he's done a great job for us. And he really lets the other two just go and create. He's the stabilizing force back there.
Well, it's evident to see he has 5 points, he has 5 assists. So obviously, he doesn't have a concern for himself in terms of, putting the ball in net because he knows he has 2 linemen that can take care of that business.
Exactly. And, you know, again, you know, it's you know, I even as a player and as a coach, I took a lot of pride in defense, and you know that's what he does. And to be the third man back, we try not to give up odd man rushes. He's always in position, and again, it lets Pete and Jack, you know, create below the dots and coming out of our own end. You know, hopefully we're attacking in numbers, but Colin can distribute it too. And he's very selfless. He just lets them go, and it's working. So, you know, I don't want to change something that's not working. And he's again, you get those selfless guys that just understand what it takes to win, and that's usually the glue in the glue in your lineup.
You have free.
You know,
go ahead, Tim.
When I put the ball for Jim Doherty at Don Savio, and his advice to me was give the ball to somebody who can shoot.
Yeah, I mean, that's good advice. Obviously, Pete and Jack, you know, if you look at, they probably account for 90% of our scoring. And, you know, like I told Rick, you know, over the time we've talked, yeah, you can beat talent, but you can't, you know, talent and chemistry is very hard to beat. These kids are so close, it's ridiculous. It's been the closest team I've ever coached. And they're winning a lot on chemistry as well. I mean, our goaltending's been great, making big saves when he has to. But we've won on a lot of chemistry. Kids just going out. You know, your top line has to be your top line. They have to go and create. You need your second line to be the secondary scoring. Your third line, they can't be scored on. And so, you know, everybody has a role. Everybody has to understand it. But Pete and Jack have been able to create on such a high level this year. It's been pretty special to watch, to tell you the truth. Their creativity and their speed and their selfless too. They use each other. They use everybody. So I feel that's been our hallmark all year.
These are all words that you've preached many times, Dale, when we talk with you. And you know, your defense. You want to keep the goals down. 1.5. It's exactly where you are, goals against right now. Are there any kids on this team? And you mentioned in the Times too, I guess, to Nick Kukuru, how proud you are of this group. Are there any kids on the team that in the course of their careers you've had to move them from one position to another, or is it sort of that it's all kind of fallen into place with this unit?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate that, you know, I've had some kids that can jump back and play D. I got to tell you, we were very concerned going into the Gloucester game because we lost one of our freshman defensemen, Thomas Bebind, he went into the boards in practice the day before, and he was slightly concussed. So we were down to 4D, and against that lineup, a heavy lineup that's going to get a PCU all the time, I got to tell you, it was unbelievable to watch. And we had them in the box a couple of times, so we were down to 3. It was incredible to watch the effort we got from our defense and our goaltending. That's what really wins us the close games, is the other side of the puck. And hopefully we can convert on some special teams, but the overall commitment to coming back was really evident. The player we usually put back there, assistant captain, he's a senior, Nate Evangelista. He's the one we would put back there to eat up those minutes, and he would do it in a heartbeat just to help. But he's out with a broken collarbone. So we really had no one that we could convert back there. So, again, the effort we got on the other side of the puck, especially from ID, who logged heavy, heavy minutes, was pretty impressive.
Coach, I imagine that it's in order to shit, again, 50 players around, where you go from having, you know, 6 defensemen that you can rotate in your pairings to having 2.5 lines, and now you've got to slide somebody in there. Does that make you more aware of the minutes that the 5 of them are actually playing?
I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question. I'm sorry. Go ahead again.
When you're down to 5 defensemen,
yep.
And do you really have to take into account the number of minutes that they're playing in order to keep them somewhat fresh throughout the game?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we were very cognizant of that. You know, we were telling our board side defensemen closest to the bench, always, yeah, change it first and try to stay on no longer than 30 seconds. And then when you're going on, you know, the other D has to try to switch over to the board side if we can and get him off. So, yeah, we rotated pretty quickly on that. But at times, you know, on a power play, we had 3 defensemen on the ice because I stick my 6'6" defenseman out front of the net on the power play. He scored a goal, and you're using 2 other ones back on the point. So out of the 4 defensemen we had, 3 were on the ice at one time. So you really have to come back and watch minutes, watch what they're doing, try to slow change, try to have, you know, grab time any way you can. You really have to watch your timeout. But at the same time, you know, stalling and doing whatever you can to grab some extra time.
Before we talk about the schedule the rest of the way, Dale, I talked with Coach Hansen this week over at the prep about enjoying this time of year. And it was interesting the answer he gave. He talked about the stress of being a coach versus being a player. And he mentioned that when you're a player, when you guys played at whatever level, you're only responsible for yourself. And now as a coach, you're responsible not only for the strategy and the training of all these kids, but also how they comport themselves representing the community. And so I've got to ask you, I know you're enjoying this time of year, and so how are you feeling right now about this group?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it's the best time of year. You're coming down the stretch. You know, we tell our kids, you know, they don't hand out trophies in December and January, but getting into February, you're going to be coming down to it. And these kids have reacted so well to everything we've thrown at them. And we're tough. I mean, we coach tough. I mean, you know, we want these kids to realize their accountability, their responsibility to our play. We're not depending on any one guy. We need everybody towing the same line. So they've all adapted very well. And to see our upperclassmen really encouraging our freshmen and sophomore players were starting to get some minutes because of the necessity. It's really, you know, seeing them grow, and this group has really grown, and they're great in school. They're great out in the community. They represent themselves very well, and, you know, couldn't be more proud of them, to say the truth. But, you know, stress is self-inflicted. You know, pressure is self-inflicted. Just go out and play. Michael was the only gave him a talk before. And I've said it all along, too. I always say play our game. But he said, you know, they weren't afraid of the Russians. They weren't afraid of anybody as long as they played their game. They didn't try to adjust to anybody. And that's pretty much our message. If we're playing our game, let everybody adjust to us. But I think when you're chasing the game, you're chasing trying to find your identity, that's the problem. If you establish it right away, you're not chasing anything. So I feel our kids have really adapted well to our overall philosophy and what we're trying to do out there all the time. Small hockey, keep it simple. And, again, yeah, this is a great time of year. I love it. We're coming down the stretch, and hopefully we can keep the foot on the gas.
Dale, is it an unfair advantage to call upon probably the most famous of the 1980 gold medal winners to come in and talk to your kids and give them a little pep talk?
Well, it's nice to have that experience. It's great to have somebody that's gone through the biggest moment in U.S. hockey history and be captain of it. But yeah, he shares those stories with the kids, and it's something you can't put a price on, to tell you the truth. I mean, to have that moment and to have the person that did it from our town, come through our community, do everything he's done. The kids really, they take that, to heart. And again, he called me from Florida. Make sure you keep telling them, play your game, play your game. Don't get away from it. And I said, don't worry. I will. But Mike's around all the time. Whenever he's in town, he's always down with us. So, to draw on those stories and those experiences are invaluable, to say the truth.
Dale, two of the next three games, regular final season ending. They're away games. What's the schedule look like for you guys this last full week of regular season training?
Well, we got Masco on Wednesday night up in Havel, and obviously we know what that's going to bring. They're a very good hockey team, and we have to just take the next game. That's all we talk about, the next game, prepare for the next game. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is. It really doesn't matter to me, because once again, we're going back to the just play our game. So as long as we are playing our game, hopefully we're giving ourselves a chance to win in the third period, which we've been very strong. And then we have Peabody and Saugus. And hopefully we can continue against them. And the last game of the year is against Dedham, a non-conference at home. So we're going to try to finish on a very high note heading into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.